Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Each and every Sunday, we gather in this beautiful house of prayer, built for us by the generosity of past members, and we give thanks to God. The liturgy of the Holy Eucharist that we will celebrate in this place each Sunday is called the Great Thanksgiving. In it, we recall the way God has revealed God's self to the world since creation, and the generosity of God's redeeming nature that saves us from the abyss. The greatest revelation of God was through his Son, Jesus. God came into the world in human flesh, born of Mary, in a cowshed by candlelight. Through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God, been forgiven of our sins and offences, and saved from a life absent of the true love of God, whose inclusive embrace assures us that there is hope for redemption in this broken world. Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King and our Thanksgiving Sunday. The Feast of Christ the King is celebrated on the last Sunday after Pentecost, when we arrive at the threshold of a new liturgical year that begins next week with the season of Advent. We remember Christ as King, the epitome of the just King in the form of the benevolent King David. And we recall the mockery of Jesus endured in the last hours as he was crowned with a crown of thorns, spat upon and beaten. We recall the plate that was nailed to that old wooden cross. This is the King of the Jews. The King, the Messiah. It wasn't, however, supposed to work out the way it did. The Messiah was to come with great might and power and save the world by banishing evil and those that evil had enslaved. Little did his followers appreciate that in Jesus' darkest hour, his might and power was revealed to all in his suffering and death. His might and power touched the weakest, even in his final minutes of life. How we all might cry out the same words as one of his co-accused: Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The full arc of Jesus' life has been recalled for us this past year in our scripture readings during our liturgies. His life was extraordinary, and as such should be the centre of our Thanksgiving remembrances and celebrations this coming week. For all that we are and all that we have and all that we give and share comes from God. All that we know about our salvation from this decaying world comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we become endowed with a generous heart, a loving embrace, a just and merciful soul, and a forgiving and a healing nature. We become the instruments of God's love in the world, and so our generosity becomes a reflection of how we live out this blessing. Today, the parish leadership asks that you make a personal commitment to the work of the church, the work of God through Jesus Christ in this church, and in the world that starts with our neighbourhood. Jesus asks us to commit to sharing some of the blessings we have received to ensure the health of this church community and to ensure others continue to hear the great message of hope that flows freely through God's never-ending grace. Generosity isn't something that just happens. Generosity is something that has to be nurtured within us so that we learn to give freely without condition and without fear that we might not have enough for ourselves. Generosity is not just a virtue of this contemporary world. It can be found in ancient cultures. Our Christian principle of tithing, that retention of 90% of God's gift to us, comes from the time of Abraham, when he gave a tenth of what he had after King Melchizedek blessed him as he was returning from rescuing Lot. Andy Clark, one of our choir members, reminded me yesterday of the generosity of the ancient Israelites as recorded in the second book of Chronicles in chapter 31. After King Hezekiah was one of the good kings, demonstrated his own generosity by providing the necessary sacrifices from his bounty. He asked the community also to provide a tithe to support the priests and the Levites who did not have the blessing of land. And he reminded me that the Levites were in fact the temple singers, And I think he was a well-timed plug that the vestry this week allocate the necessary funds to expand the choir and employ the organist. And I'm a firm believer that we have much to learn from history, and especially from history that is the revelation of God contained in our scripture. But we also have much to learn from the indigenous cultures of the world, especially those that have existed well before Abraham's time, for they have things to teach us too. And one such teaching is the need for generosity. The Episcopal Church has an active ministry to the Dakota people, who are one of the three Sioux tribes on the Great Plains, which are now North and South Dakota. And I've come to know the priest in charge of the Cheyenne River Episcopal Ministries, the Reverend Margaret Watson. One of the ministries that I support with a part of my tithe is a feeding program at St. John's Eagle Butte, one of the Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota. The Lakota people list generosity as one of the 12 virtues of being Lakota. It is called tentekua, or has a heart. As with most Indigenous peoples, these virtues are handed down through storytelling, and I'd like to share briefly one of their stories this morning. It was winter, and food was scarce within the community. The elders decided that they would send two of their best hunters deep into the forest to hunt deer, while the others would forage closer to their camp. See the Bear and Left Hand were selected to try and snare a deer deep in the forest. They set out in snowshoes and walked for many days and nights, but were unable to locate tracks of a deer. They were running out of food themselves, surviving on small strips of dried rabbit. Each night they would camp in the snow, huddled by a small fire. The end was near as their strength waned. When they woke one morning, a deer came crashing through the thicket and fell into a snow-filled gully. The two hunters couldn't believe their good fortune and rushed to draw their bows and to kill the deer before it escaped. When the deer's last breath drifted into the cold air, See the Bear and Left Hand pondered their luck. They trussed up the deer carcass and started out dragging it back through a thick snow to the camp. 2 days into their journey, they came across a skinny coyote that asked them for food because the winter had been harsh for him as well. Left Hand stated the obvious, that winter was a time of hunger, and they couldn't share their deer as the community was hungry too and expected the full carcass. See the Bear, though, felt compassion and cut off strips of meat and gave it to the coyote. Left Hand was not happy. A few days later, a flock of magpies settled in the trees above them and asked for some of the meat that they fed to their young. Left Hand reiterated what he had told the coyote and refused to give them any. Again, See the Bear felt empathy and cut off some meat, not acknowledging the refrain of displeasure from Left Hand. A few days later, it was a wolf, and then it was a fox. Each time, Left Hand objected, but See the Bear cut off more meat from the shrinking carcass. Finally, a hawk came to visit them, seeking food. Left Hand had enough and stormed off to the village to tell them what was happening and to warn them that Seen the Bear was giving away the much-needed meat. After Left Hand departed, See the Bear gave some meat to the hawk, who in turn suggested to See the Bear that they might find more plentiful food in the nearby lake country. Thankful for the advice, See the Bear lugged what remained of the carcass back to the edge of the camp and stuffed it behind a tree, then went to confront the elders. The elders asked him for his side of the story, and he told them the truth. The elders were disappointed that the carcass would be smaller than needed, but acknowledged the advice that food could be more plentiful in the lake country. So they went to fetch what remained of the carcass, and were shocked to find that a full carcass was found behind the tree. Left Hand could not believe what he was witnessing. "I saw it being cut up and given away," he exclaimed. As the elders and others stood with a carcass, a ghostly white image of a large deer appeared before them. The deer said, "I am the deer that live in the forest. There are many of us, and our flesh will give you strength. We ask that in return you always show your gratefulness for the gift of our life. If you do this, we will always be here to help you. Generosity is a good thing to have, for we all are travelers on this earth. From then on, after each deer was killed, the hunters would pause for a quiet moment, and then they would lay down a bundle of sacred sage as an offering. And this practice continues to this day. Jesus could be the ghost of the deer, offering up his flesh as strength. He has showed us through the Eucharistic meal what it means to pause and to reflect in the quietness of our hearts and what he has done for us by laying down his life for our freedom. Jesus became the scapegoat of the community that wanted to exile him for all the threats that he felt, that they felt, and the way he lived his life. Left Hand wanted to see the bear identified as the person who gave away the much-needed meat. The mainstream community of Jesus' day was so caught up in the rituals of life that they missed the opportunity to be generous in spirit. The blessings that Jesus taught his early followers were threatening to many and may continue to be so in our modern world. Despite this, we are called to model living with a generous heart. As you ponder your own generous heart this morning and later this week at Thanksgiving meals, prayerfully reflect on how God is sharing the bounty of living in freedom and forgiveness with you. See if you can put aside some time to reflect deeply on how God has blessed you this year, how God may be calling you to share those blessings with others through a generous heart, and how God continues to bring you out of exile and into the promised land. So today, may God's grace fill you, and may we be thankful and generous today and every day hereafter. Amen.